pray. Father, we just thank you for, Lord, this time together. Thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us from your word. Lord, would you please get me out of the way and let us hear from you. Lord Jesus, we need to hear your voice. And Lord, help us not to just be hearers of the word, but doers, as you tell us. Help us to hear your voice and then take it and do it. And do whatever you tell us to. Get me out of the way now. Let us hear from you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man that was going to fly overseas, and he had just been bombarded with choices over and over again. There was the choice of the airlines to the place that he was going. He could choose either one, and he chose Delta. And so he took this Delta flight, and then they told him as he was getting his ticket that to go overseas, that he was going to have to get a connecting flight. And he could either do that in Dallas or Miami. Either way, it doesn't matter. And so he thought about it, and he chose. He made his little decision, and he said, Miami. And so he took that flight and got to on the way to Miami, boarded the plane in Miami, and then headed out. And he was flying overseas, and one of the engines on that plane went out, and that plane went down. And so the plane crashes in the ocean, and then he's faced with another choice. There's some debris floating around him, and he's got nothing. And most of the debris is too far away from him, but there's two pieces right in front of him, and he's got a choice. And so he chooses one piece of debris as he's got all of his clothes on and he's near sinking. And he grabs on one of the pieces of debris, only to sink very quickly with that piece of debris. And so he passes away, and then he comes to the gates of heaven, and then he says, "You know, I need to speak to somebody." And I'm sorry, I've jumped a little bit ahead. He's praying. Okay, he's in the ocean and he's praying, and he calls out to God as he's sinking with this last piece of debris. He says, "Oh, please, somebody up there, help me. Saint Francis, please help me." And then this hand extends down, and a voice comes to him and says, "Do you want Saint Francis of Assisi or this other Saint Francis?" And there's choices. Now, I apologize, I missed that. I messed that one up. But there are choices that we have to make continuously, day in and day out. Decisions, one after another. And on any given day, our day consists of one choice after the other. One choice that leads to another. One choice that leads to another. I remember when I was ministering at Cloverdale Baptist Church, there was a sign at one time in the fellowship hall, and I'll never forget it. And this sign said, "Choices lead to habits, and habits lead to character, and character leads to destiny." It all starts with the small choices that you make day in and day out. One little choice after another ultimately ends in destiny. Your destiny. My destiny. And I would add one more. I would add one more to that line there. And that would be even our thoughts before the choices. Let's add that on the front. Our thoughts, each thought that we have, even our thoughts or our focus, what we're thinking about, our thoughts or our focus lead to choices. And then choices lead to habits, and habits lead to character, and character leads to destiny. It all starts very small. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me for just a moment. Galatians chapter 6. And if you're new at this, that's in your New Testament. That's the last third of your Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep turning. You'll see Corinthians. You want Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10. And we want to answer this question. How can you fulfill God's calling or His destiny for you? His calling that He has for your life. His destiny for your life. What He desires for your life. Or to put it away, we did last week, the race that He has for you. God compares the Christian life, following Him. If you respond to that call of Jesus saying, follow me, and then you enter that race, God says, you're in a great race. You're running a race that's been marked out for you if you're a believer, if you're following Him. And that's just another way to look at it. A great race or your destiny or His will for your life, what He desires. The Apostle Paul said, I count my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. So how can you fulfill God's calling or destiny or finish the race that He has for you, your specific race? How can you do it? Well, let's look at Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Let's get some instruction here from the Lord. He says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, how can you fulfill your God-given destiny or calling or your unique race that God has for you? How can you do it? Well, we notice a few things here. First of all, know you reap what you sow. You need to know that. To start off, know you reap what you sow. We see that in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual certainty. It's a spiritual, it's going to happen. It's similar to the law of gravity. In the law of gravity, when you hold something up in the air and you drop it, it's going to fall. We have the law of gravity. Well, there's a law, so to speak, of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. It's a spiritual principle. There's this law there of sowing and reaping. And some of you are familiar with this law of sowing and reaping. Some of you are more familiar than others. Some of you have gardens, or some of you, maybe you have been on a farm before, or maybe you grew up on a farm, but many have experienced this principle firsthand of sowing and reaping. And there's three key words in this principle of sowing and reaping that you need to think about. When you're gardening or you're planting anything, what happens? When you plant those tomatoes, the reaping principle is you will reap what you sow. You'll reap more than you sow, and you'll reap later than you sow. That's just the law of sowing and reaping. You think about those three words. What, more, and later. And the same is true for spiritually. The same is true with God and your relationship with God. You reap. God cannot be mocked. God, don't deceive yourself. You reap what you sow. And so whatever you sow, you will reap that. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap more than you sow, and it'll be later. You'll reap later than you sow. And so the question for you and me this morning is, what are you sowing? What are you sowing in your life with the Lord, in your relationship with the Lord, in your life right now? Maybe you look at your life and you don't like what you're reaping. Maybe you don't like the way your life is turning out or what's going on in your life. Maybe you don't like what you're reaping. Well, change what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. What are you sowing this morning? You answer that question. It's between you and the Lord. And so, know, first of all, that you reap what you sow. If you want to fulfill God's calling, His destiny, complete this race, the specific race He's got for you, know that you reap what you sow. And secondly, next, don't sow to please your sinful nature. That's God's next word of instruction here. Don't sow to please your sinful nature. We see that in verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Don't sow to please your sinful nature. You see, the result of that type of sowing to please your own nature, your own desires, some people call it your human nature, your sinful nature. If you sow toward that, you reap destruction. You reap harm. You reap pain. You reap sorrow. So don't think on or focus on what you want. That's sowing to your own desires. That's sowing to your sinful nature. Don't focus on what you want to please yourself. Don't live Sinatra's famous song, "I Did It My Way." Don't live that. You see, your way, we all have a sinful nature, every one of us. And that way, your way, and my way, will land me in final and ultimate destruction, in hell, apart from God. That's what my way will get. That's what your way will get. If we sow to please the sinful nature, it will lead to destruction. That sinful nature, what does it look like? It's the natural way that we go. Like I said, the world calls it human nature, your human nature. Well, what does it look like? Well, if you turn back just a little bit, turn back one chapter and you'll see, look at Galatians 5. Look at verses 19 to 21. Here's a little bit of what it looks like. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the sinful nature looks like. And just thinking about a couple of them, selfish ambition. You ever selfish? You ever do anything just to please yourself? You ever do anything to get yourself ahead, to just... You ever have selfish ambition? What about idolatry? Well, idolatry is just when we take anything in all God's creation, anything from Him, and we just put it in His place, which is first place in your life. Is there anything, is there any person or relationship or even your own life or your own self, or is there anything in your life that you would put before the Lord that takes a, that if you're not careful, He takes a second place to it? Or are you free to release everything to the Lord? Would you say, Lord Jesus, You are my Lord. You're my God. I love You more than anything. And if it's You or anything else, I choose You above everything. I'll let everything else go. I love You more than everything else. Is it like that for you? That's no idolatry. But if there's some things and we say, well, wait a minute, you know. Well, Lord, I've got this thing before You right now. Well, what is it? That's something in His place. That's He said, have no other gods before Me. That's one of the commands. And so, don't sow to please your sinful nature. And here's an easy way to look at it. If you're at any given moment in your life or in my life, if you're not sowing to please the Spirit, then you're sowing to please the sinful nature. It's black and white. There's no in between. It's one or the other. There's a struggle there for the believer. If you're a believer, the Spirit of God lives within you. And so you have the Spirit and He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to please Him. And so He'll let you know in your heart what He wants and what He desires and through His Word. And you have a choice. You can either sow to please the Spirit. You can let Him have His way and you can do what He wants and say, I love You more than anything. I put You above everything. Or you can, there's that other nature too within you if you're a believer. And you can, if you know what He wants, you know what the Spirit of God wants, if you know what He wants and you decide to go another way, and you say, well, I don't know about that, or I'm not ready for that, or I'm not going to do that yet. What have you done? If you're not sowing to please the Spirit, you're sowing to please your sinful nature. So don't sow to please your sinful nature. Here's what to do. Sow to please the Spirit. We see that in the second part of verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There is life and peace in the way of the Spirit. Sow to please the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Stay focused on pleasing the Spirit. I'm pleasing God. I'm pleasing the Lord. Stay focused there on pleasing Him. Now, Scripture tells us, it tells us in Corinthians, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom following God's ways, following His truth, following Him. That is true freedom. You see, we become slaves to our sinful nature and slaves to ourself, slaves to sin, apart from His Spirit, but the Spirit brings freedom. So to please the Spirit, stay focused on pleasing the Spirit. And so the Lord is the Spirit. And so that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So a simple way to look at it is stay focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's Hebrews 12 too. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So keep your eyes on Him. Keep your focus on Him and what pleases Him. A great prayer to pray, a wonderful thing to have in your heart would just be for this to be your heart, just to call out to Him, to focus on the Lord Jesus and let this be your prayer. Lord, how can I bring You the most possible pleasure and honor and glory? That's sowing to please the Spirit. That's sowing to please Him. Lord, I just want to bring You the most pleasure I could bring You. Glory. How can I do that, Lord? That's sowing to please the Spirit. And how can you do it? Well, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will obey My commands. That's how you can do it. You can obey Him. You show your love to Him. You please Him by obeying Him. You express love to Him. That's pleasing to Him. And what did He say? He said, remain in Me. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If a man remains in Me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. It's John 15. And so Jesus calls you and He calls me to remain in Him or trust in Him. Stay in Him. Stay focused on Him. Stay trusting in Him. Abide in Him. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Corrie ten Boom said, don't wrestle, but nestle. Don't wrestle. Don't live your Christian life just trying to be good. That's like a branch apart from the vine, trying to bear fruit. Some branch off by itself, trying to have oranges grow on it. Just trying and wrestling and striving. That's not the way. The branch needs to just stay connected to the vine. Plug into the vine. Stay there. And then it will just naturally bear fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. Stay connected to Me. Stay trusting in Me. Stay focused on Me. Don't wrestle apart from Me trying to do right and live well and live the Christian life. No, just stay plugged into Me. Stay as close to Me as you can. Have that love relationship, that devotion to Me. Let's be closer than you've ever been to anybody. Just you and Jesus. Don't wrestle, but nestle. Be with Him. And that's where the fruit comes from. What fruit? Galatians 5:22. Back in that chapter. We don't want to bear those things of the sinful nature. But the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22 of chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's where you have life. Sow to please the Spirit. And finally, sow to please the Spirit. And then keep on sowing to please the Spirit and enjoy the harvest. There's a call to perseverance there. If you want to fulfill God's calling, His destiny, complete that race, know you reap what you sow. Don't sow to please the sinful nature. Sow to please the Spirit. And then, as you're sowing to please the Spirit, keep on sowing to please the Spirit and enjoy the harvest. Don't give up. Look at verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, it might take a while to see the harvest as you're sowing to please the Spirit. But keep going. Don't give up. At the proper time, in God's time, you will see the harvest. When you plant those tomatoes, you don't see the harvest right away, as soon as you plant them. But later, you reap a harvest. Sow to please the Spirit. Keep on sowing. Later on, receive the harvest. Don't give up. In verse 10, do good to all, especially to the believers. Are you sowing to please the Spirit, but not seeing the harvest yet? Don't give up. Keep going. Sow to please the Spirit, one moment at a time, from one moment to the next, to fulfill God's calling on your life, to fulfill His destiny for you. Sow to please the Spirit this moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. Stay focused on Him. Sow to please the Spirit. Keep your thoughts on Him. Those thoughts will lead to habits. Those habits, character, character, destiny. Well, how can you sow to please the Spirit this moment? This moment. Are you? Right now, in your heart, only the Lord Jesus knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. Right now, in this moment, are you sowing to please His Spirit? Or are you sowing to please the sinful nature? If you're not, that's where you are. Well, let's pray about it. Father, we come to You right now, and Lord, we just want to examine ourselves. We want You to examine us. And Lord, we ask right now, Lord, that You would help each one of us, Lord. Please seal it in our heart. Remind us often that You reap what You sow. Lord, may we know that principle. May it be ready on our minds. And therefore, Lord, would You alert us to how we are sowing? Lord, would You protect us from sowing to please the sinful nature? Lord, would You let us know anytime we get off track, anytime we're not sowing to please Your Spirit, would You remind us of this terrible truth that we're sowing to please the sinful nature and that reaps destruction? And Lord, would You turn us? Would You turn us right now to sowing to please the Spirit? Lord, I pray that You would speak to each heart here. And Lord, if there is anyone here, if there's anyone that feels like this moment, when they look at their heart, maybe they feel like they have not been sowing to please the Spirit, but they want to. And Lord, maybe there are some here wondering if they even have the Spirit yet, if they know You, if they've given their life to You. Lord, would You help that person if there's someone that needs to turn to You and receive Your Spirit, if there's someone here that needs to come to You, Jesus, to turn to You for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, would You help them? Would You help them right now to say, Lord, I've sinned against You. I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that You died for my sins, that You paid my penalty. You took my punishment on the cross. I believe that You're raised from the dead. But Lord, I know I've been focused on myself, on my sinful nature. Right now, I want to turn from that, and I want to turn totally to You. I want to leave myself behind. I want to turn away from myself. I want to repent. Myself and my sin, and I want to turn to You, Jesus. I want to sow to please You, Jesus. So right now, I give my life to You. I trust You to save me from my sins. Come into my life. Lord, maybe there are others that want to sow to please Your Spirit in other areas of their life. Lord, help them right now. Help them as we sing this song, Lord, to pray about those areas and to just sow to please You, to please Your Spirit. We love You, Lord, and whatever You're telling us to do, Lord, would You speak it clearly to each of our hearts and help us to respond. Help us to do whatever you would call us to do this morning as a result of what we've heard. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if that's you, if you just called on the Lord and asked Him to save you from your sins and to come into your life, and now you're beginning that process, you want to just so to please the Spirit, you want to live for Him and turn away from that sinful nature, then you come. When Chris leads us in this song, you come. If you've just believed and you called on the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. He's done a miracle in your life. And when Chris leads us, you just step out of your seat and you come. You let us know that. We want to celebrate that with you. Maybe you know that that has happened before, but you've never followed it with baptism. Maybe you've trusted the Lord. You know that. You know His Spirit's within you. But maybe you have not followed His Spirit in your baptism. Maybe you've held back. And in your own nature, you said, "Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that." Well, if it's something He's telling you to do, then you come. You come as Chris leads us in this song. We'll talk about that. And maybe there's something else. Maybe that God is leading you to join this fellowship, to come here. And maybe there's something else in your life He's dealing with you about. Whatever it is, you just decide what you'll do as a result of this service. And you do it as Chris leads us in this song.